Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
Chris, first let's take a look back at the Capital City game. A homecoming win, and that is never a bad thing.
No, never a bad thing. Very, very proud of the way the boys came out in the second half and fought a little bit harder. I thought defense played solid all night, so outside of the one drive where, you know, it seemed like they chewed 7 minutes off the clock and kind of frustrated us, kept extending drives with penalties and other things. Other than that, I thought we played really good defensively, held them to 110 yards of total offense, you know, 106 yards rushing, 4 yards passing. Really an outstanding effort. In the second half, I thought the offense really picked it up too in the second half with 21 points and, you know, coming away with a 31-0 victory over your, you know, one of your crosstown rivals. You know, very happy about that.
Well, let's just look to this week now. You know, the game kind of everybody circles. It's here, and now you get the host this year.
Yeah. You know, last year we went over there and, you know, the first ever, and, you know, a matchup that was 60 years in the making. You know, I think there was a lot of hype around last year's game. And, you know, I've told a lot of people that this will always be a special game from here moving forward. But that first meeting had a special significance that I'm not sure you can ever replicate. I mean, because of what it was. And not that this isn't a big game and not that, you know, doesn't have our 100% undivided attention. But this one will be, you know, an important matchup, but not a historic matchup. And, you know, it does have a lot riding, the city championship, of course, and, you know, possible conference championship. So there's a lot there on the table for us, and we just want to play well.
Expect probably the biggest crowd ever here, I would assume.
I think so. I would expect standing room only. You know, I think the weather's supposed to be nice, and, you know, it's I think it's going to be a matchup. When you look at it on paper, I think it's going to be a matchup between strengths, their ability to run the football. You know, they have an unbelievable rush offense and, you know, the best running back that, you know, we will have seen all year long. I think Bethune's the best running back in the conference. And then our rush defense have been playing really well as of late. So it's a matchup of strengths. And I'm not saying that the game is going to be completely decided on which, you know, team performs better, their ability to rush or their ability to stop the run, but I think it's going to be an extremely important factor in the game.
But then you look the other way, you know, your offense against their defense is also probably going to be another important thing.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
Absolutely. You know, offensively, our ability to have success, move the ball, score points, you know, this isn't going to be a 14-7 game. You know, I think the offenses are going to have the ability to put points on the board as good as the defenses are. You know, I feel like, you know, the winner is going to have to score 28 to 30 points, I think, probably to win this ball game.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Hawaii's head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, I guess the first question I got to ask of you about last week's game against Capital City is only 10-0 at halftime?
Yeah, I talked to Chris about that after the game, and I said, you know, that really reminded me of the game last year against Jeff City, that your offense was just, you know, jitters and looked nervous and just couldn't execute. And he said, at halftime, the coaches said the exact same
thing. Really? Okay.
You know, and it's, it was just, for whatever reason, they were just, it was like they were just nervous and couldn't execute.
Okay.
Now, after halftime, things settled down.
Sure.
And they got rolling a little bit, but, you know, it, that was their season low in yards, 306, and you know, season and 20 and 31 points in a game that where they were hoping to dominate the first half and then basically have, you know, the second, third stringers play the second half. That didn't happen.
I was going to say, sometimes you have that plan, and it almost makes things almost kind of more pressure-packed from the standpoint of, it's like, we've got to be super efficient every time so we can get this done, so we can get out. And it's almost like, well, if you just play your game, it probably would have played out that way, but now you've almost put too much import on everything you're trying to do that sometimes that backfires on you.
Yeah, and you know, they learned from it. I'm going to assume they learned from it and maybe got some of their the jitters out of their system.
Sure.
Say, you know, we can't play this way again.
Yeah, I was going to say, the hope is that you don't have any of that hangover because, you know, we don't probably need to dwell too much with Capital City because we got plenty to talk about for this week's game.
Yeah.
Other than to say that, yeah, that moves you to 5-1 overall, 4-0 in the CMAC, so you're still kind of, you know, the top of the heap right now.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, this is the game where, okay, you're hosting Jefferson City at 7 o'clock Friday night. They're 3-3 overall, but they're 3-1 in the conference. So this, all of a sudden, this becomes kind of the must-win game. If you want to kind of just, you know, have any chance of winning the title outright, this is obviously the game you need to have.
Yeah, they don't want to share it with anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a couple other teams that only lost once, you know, all to Elias. So they know that this game is important for their goals for the season.
Sure. We've talked about it a few times, and it's, you know, it's sometimes it can be coach speak where you go, okay, or our goals are this, or our goals are this, or our goals are this, because we want to have tick off this box and this box and this box. But I think if you said to them at the beginning of the year, said, okay, which game are you kind of really kind of circling? I think it's always going to be the Jays, at least in these early stages of the CMAC, you know, sessions where, yes, there are going to be other games that are, I mean, they have other games that are important and they have this, but this is kind of the one that everybody in town has already circled. So I think it's got to be one that they've circled too.
Sure. And I brought that up to Chris. You know, this is the game everybody wants. Everybody wanted to see. I mean, for years, it's the game everybody wanted to see. Last year, you know, they played for the first time over at Ecke Stadium, the last one, 28-0. But, you know, there were COVID attendance restrictions. Now, there were a lot more people there than I thought there'd be.
right.
But there were people, you know, tonight, there are no attendance restrictions. This, you know, Ray Hinchin Stadium is going to be packed to the gills.
Yeah.
And so, and I think part of that has to do with the way Jefferson City has played the last 3 weeks.
That was my next question for you. Is, you know, you've got two teams that, you know, kind of had some early season stumbles. You know, for Jeff City, it was multiple stumbles, and Elias was the one stumble. But you've kind of seen two teams kind of trending upward ever since that point. Even, I would say, even in those three opening season losses for the Jays, each one kind of got progressively better and got them to kind of the point where, I mean, you know, you look at just this last week alone, I mean, the 6-6-6-6-31 win over Hickman, there aren't going to be many more games in the Jeff City-Hickman rivalry that are more lopsided than that. So things are trending upward for the Jays, and I think they're also trending upward for Elias.
Yeah. I think you look back at last year, it was a similar thing. You know, Elias was 6-0, but Jeff City was 3-3 coming off three straight wins. So you thought maybe they had momentum coming their way. Well, as it turns out, it didn't. But this time, I think, it's different. This is a different Jays team. This is a team that I think has been kind of more impressive in the way they've won the last 3 weeks. And really, and in a couple of their losses, too, were more impressive than the way they lost last year. This is it's a different group. And this has the makings of a really, really, really good football game.
This is a Jays team that has not had any problem scoring points the last couple of weeks. So how much of a test is this just going to be, or how much is this game going to be dependent on just how well the Elias defense can play?
Well, that's really, I think, the premier matchup. You know, it's the Jays wing T running offense against the Elias defense. You know, I in the preview, Elias in the last five weeks has given up, I think, 432 rushing yards.
Okay.
Well, the Jays ran for 580 last week.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be a clash of who can kind of put their will on the other team, because you know what the Jays are going to do. They are not going to throw the ball unless they absolutely have to, and they haven't had to for 3 weeks. So, if they continue to have success on the ground, they'll never put the ball up. They have no reason to.
So a lot of times we talk about these things in generalities because we try to just kind of hit the high points. But so if they are going to, if Elias is going to be able to stop the Jefferson City run offense, what's going to be the key from that standpoint? Is there going to be one person that has to play extremely well? Is it going to, I mean, I know coaches always say everybody's got to play assignment football, but is it going to be the sort of thing where we look back after this game and go, oh, you know, so-and-so for Elias had 16 tackles, and that's why they were able to stop this?
Now, first of all, you're not going to stop it.
Okay.
You're just not. You're just looking to slow them down.
Okay.
You know, Chris said they're going to get their points.
Okay.
It's just a matter of us getting ours. They're going to get, you know, he said David Bethune is the best running back they'll play this year.
Sure.
And he is. Last year, you know, they didn't score, but I mean, every time he got the ball, you thought, here's a chance, you know, they can come back and score because he can go 70, 80, 90 yards
right
anytime he wants. And, you know, as Chris said, if he gets out in the open, we don't have anybody that can catch him.
Right.
And, which is 100% accurate.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, you know, playing good team defense.
Okay.
Playing gang tackling, going to the ball, just knowing that, you know, he's going to get 2, 3, or 4. You just can't let him get 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Right.
Or more.
We've seen Helias the last couple of weeks where, you know, they just have not, I mean, pitching 2 shutouts against anybody, I don't care who you're playing, is always impressive. I don't think we can expect them to do that again.
No.
But is there a number where you go, okay, this is maybe what I feel like comfortably the Jays will score, so then you say to the Helias offense, then I expect you guys, you're going to have to score X number to beat that then. Or is it just that you kind of hope that the game just plays out overall where, you know, you just feel like you're making plays on both sides of the ball when you need to and then, you know, being opportunistic when you need to be?
I think Chris has a number in mind.
Okay.
He kind of hinted at it a little bit. And I think it starts with a 3.
Okay.
He says they're going to have to get into the 30s to you know, get a chance to win. You know,
sure.
He said, because the Jays are going to get theirs. You know, they've got Bethune. They've got Kimmyon Pendleton, who, you know, tore up Hickman last week, so they're going to get theirs.
Right.
They're just that good, you know. And this week, I mean, they rock right out of the wing tee, which is somewhat similar, sort of, kind of to what they ran last year. But he said, Chris said, it's different because it looks like the kids have really bought in.
Okay.
And they are playing hard. He said, you watch their line play offensively and really defensively, it is miles ahead of where it was last year. It's like they're, you know, they just shoot off the ball as one, and they are doing a great job. He said, that's something we're really going to have to worry about.
Yeah.
Because Helias really isn't all that big up front, and so it's going to be, you know, engage, get the linebackers tacked and brought in. You know, they're playing a different – obviously, they're going to play a little different defense against the wing tee.
Sure.
They're playing spread teams. What they're going to play, he didn't want to really get into it, but
sure.
You can assume it's going to be they're going to be pounding a lot of guys around the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Trying to just make sure, you know, nobody gets away. And I asked – how difficult is that to do in a week?
Yeah.
And he said, well, fortunately we got smart kids, and they picked up a lot of, you know, it's all tendencies, and you try to, you know, if this guy in front of you does this, well, then you know they're doing this. He said, they're picking up on it, but, you know, in the batter of a game, are they going to remember that?
Okay.
And so it's going to be, who makes Helias can't make a lot of defensive mistakes.
Sure. I know there's a tendency in big games you want to ride the big players. So I expect a ton of Bethune. I expect a ton of Pendleton.
Sure.
Is there anybody that you see that might make an impact on this game from the Jays' offensive standpoint that, you know, we might not be thinking about, or the common person might not be mentioning because we're all thinking it's going to be those two guys?
You know, I think, look at the quarterback Hayden Wells, son of the head coach Damon Wells. He probably, and I know you hate to say this, but he doesn't get enough credit because the kid is probably, you know, this is the offense that his dad ran for years.
Sure.
And so he, you know, he knows it backward and forward. He knows where to hold, where, you know, when to hand off, when to pitch, because he can read what the defense is going to basically give him. And that, is, I think, is a really, really big key to their success the last 3 weeks and really offensively in general. And they're not going to throw it. They don't need to throw it, but he evidently can throw it a little bit.
Yeah. I think this has been something that we have always kind of hoped we would see at some point, and then we got a little bit dose of it last year. We kind of hope that this, you know, we've seen it in other sports. We've always, you know, treasured Helias Jeff City games because they always seem to bring out the best in both teams.
Yeah.
Even when one team's down and one team's better, it's always a close game. It always seems like it's just, you know, it's always closer than it probably should be if you were thinking about it. How nice is it, though, to also have it be at this point in the season from the standpoint of both these teams just seem to be like they're firing well. If this had happened maybe in week 2,
yeah.
I don't think this game's nearly as attractive. I think it's just kind of like this is kind of kismet from the standpoint of like this fell just probably when it should and when it needed to, just from the standpoint of this is going to have so much buzz around it. I feel like it's just going to be if you got a Friday night off and you're not at this game, then you got to ask yourself what you're doing because this is a good one to be wanting to go to.
Yeah, week 7 is a great week for this. You've got 6 weeks to prepare. You know, you got 6 weeks to work out the bugs and whatever you're trying to do. But it's not week, you know, 8 or 9 where you're kind of going, well, we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to. But Yeah, I mean, it's perfect timing. I think the intention is it's always going to stay in this week. So I think it's prime week for what's a prime game. And really, I think this year's game might be a little more of to what we were kind of hoping for last year.
Sure.
And so I think it's going to be a great atmosphere out there Friday, you know, tonight. And I'm fully expecting it's going to be a parking nightmare. Don't take my spot. It's clearly marked. And
membership has its privileges.
It does. And so I think it's just going to be it's going to be a lot of fun.
Fantastic. I guess that gets us to the prediction point. This is where you earn your money, such as it is. So how do you think this one plays out?
Jays are going to score.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to score multiple touchdowns. And it's just Helias can't get frustrated. This is from the Helias perspective, of course. Helias can't get frustrated. Has to know it's not the last play. It's the next play.
Yep.
I'm going to say Helias. I think Vinny Calvaruso might play a little bit of a role in this. I'm going to go 34-28, a couple of Vinny field goals, Helias.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.